The single most influential thing that has happened in my walk with Jesus in the last 10 years has been being mentored. I want to say that again, because I don't want you to, like, this is real, like, this is where, like, if I could take the time and look at every single person in the eye, like, we're asking that question, who am I becoming? The most important thing, the most influential thing in who I have been becoming has been a coaching, mentoring relationship. A pastor in Texas who offers his expertise, his wisdom. I call him up and I say, teach me, shepherd me, mentor me. I'm using all those words kind of interchangeably. That's our theme for today. A lifelong learner. Having a teachable spirit. And it's so much our theme today, it's actually, we're going to give you tangible, practical homework. You're thinking, what? Man, I came to church and now the pastor's giving me homework. It's an invitation to be mentored. So more on that to come, but I just want to go ahead and put that teaser out there. We're going to invite you to take up a mentee relationship. You find a mentor, and you be the mentee. But before I explain your homework, if you so choose to accept this, just to be clear, I'm not, like, giving out grades or anything like that. So y'all know that. We do have some teachers in the room that are willing to give you grades if you want them. Let's zoom out and frame this big picture first. We exist at First Presbyterian Church to make disciples. To make disciples who reach up to God, into one another, and out to the world. That's our mission statement. Let me be clear. We don't get to pick our mission statement. Jesus gave us our mission statement when he said, go make disciples. Yes, Lord, got it. Every church's mission statement ought to be to go make disciples. What's unique about First Presbyterian Church is that we have our own set of values, our own DNA. The way that we go about making disciples is going to be rooted in these guiding principles that we have. Your bulletin is full of resources for you today. The front of your bulletin has our four core values. If you want to flip there and look now, you can. The way that we make disciples here, these are the values that are important to us. We welcome people into the family of God. We teach the word of God. We connect people to the mission of God, and we are raising the next generation for God. I won't get into it today, but we've done lots of story nights and exploring our own origin story and looking at our charter minutes, and these themes keep emerging, that if you are part of our church, these are our values. This is what matters to us. This is us as we make disciples. The reason I'm sharing this with you is that to zoom in, that's the big picture, to zoom in a little bit more, this January we chartered a new committee, a new ministry team. It's the Spiritual Formation Ministry Team. There are seven people on it, and their sole purpose is this, to make sure that we keep the main thing the main thing. They are there to ask, yeah, but are you making disciples? Oh, that's great. How is that leading to discipleship? How are you staying on topic? So this team has said, what if we were to take our four core values and offer to the whole congregation an invitation to practice one of those values every quarter? You see where we're going? You're going to have homework for May, June, and July. It's an offer to take up a practice of being mentored. So the first practice that we're going to do is anchored in that last one, raising the next generation for God. And if you want to raise people, well, we got to be raised up ourselves first. So what is it like to be taught? What is it like to be mentored, to be coached? You see where we're headed? Okay, now you're thinking, I came because I thought there was going to be a sermon, and you're in the book of Exodus. What's going on, Pastor? Well, in God's providence, the story that we're in Exodus is all about mentoring. So it actually fits perfectly. Thank you, Lord. So what we'll do first is read the Exodus passage. You're going to hear the story of Moses being mentored by his father-in-law, Jethro. And then I'm going to flesh out a little bit more of this practice, this church-wide practice of taking up a coaching relationship in some way. Ready? Let's jump in. Before we read the passage, you can go ahead and flip in your Bibles to Exodus 18. But before we read it, I want to set it up because the first guy that's mentioned is Jethro. And I want to, somebody at Sunday school said, like the Beverly Hillbillies. Was that it? Yeah. I was like, no, not that Jethro. Much older. Rewind the clock a lot. Moses was born in Egypt in oppression and in slavery. Mom puts him in a basket. We won't get into all the details. Nile, raised in Pharaoh's house, flees. And when he flees Egypt, he goes to a place called Midian, gets a wife named Zipporah. That is his father-in-law, Jethro. Jethro would have been there with him when he saw the burning bush. He comes back home after seeing the burning bush. What am I supposed to do? I'm feeling called. I'm supposed to go let my people go. He helped him with that discernment. Off goes Moses. And then all the amazing things that we've heard about, the plagues, right? The parting of the Red Sea, the now being in the wilderness. And now they're at the foot of Mount Sinai. Well, the foot of Mount Sinai is the exact same place. This is a reunion. For the first time, Jethro is now laying eyes on his grandchildren after all these years. And Jethro is about to be caught up in all the stories that Moses is sharing. Jethro, the priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law, heard all that God had done for Moses and for Israel, his people, how the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt. What a reunion. To walk around the camps, to see the smiling children, to hear about, wait, what's for breakfast? What is it? Manna? Oh my, God is doing this? To see older men and women, grandparents with tired eyes who had been in slavery that are now free with hope, joyful mothers, proud young men. You get the idea. Moving down to verse 10, Jethro said, "Blessed be the Lord who has delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, out of the hand of Pharaoh, has delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptians. Now I know that the Lord, Yahweh, is greater than all gods." He rejoices. He praises God. And then, like any good father-in-law, he crosses his arms. He kind of watches how things go. And he notices maybe he could offer some advice. Because what Moses is doing, keep in mind, this is 2 million plus people that Moses is trying to lead. Jethro notices a growth edge in Moses. Let's see what it is. The next day, Moses sat to judge the people. And the people stood around Moses from morning till evening, from sunup to sundown. When Moses' father-in-law saw all that he was doing for the people, he said, "What is this that you're doing for the people? Why do you sit alone and all the people stand around you from morning until evening?" Moses said to his father-in-law, "Well, because the people come to me to inquire of God." And Moses said to his father-in-law, "They inquire of God. When they have a dispute, they come to me, and I decide between one person and another. And I make them know the statutes of God and his laws." Moses' father-in-law said to him, "What you're doing is not good. You and the people with you will certainly wear yourselves out. For the thing is too heavy for you. You are not able to do it alone." To paraphrase, there's no Judge Judy back then. And he's doing all the work himself. He needs to delegate. "So, now obey my voice. I will give you advice, and God be with you." Jethro is older, wiser. He's a priest. He's a mentor figure. Now the question is, will Moses be a learner? Keep in mind, Moses is about 80 years old. He's followed God through a lot of things. Is he arrogant or does he have a humble learner's posture? "You shall represent," this is the advice, "you shall represent the people before God and bring their case to God. And you shall warn them about the statutes and laws and make them know the way in which they must walk and what they must do. Moreover, look for able men from all the people, men who fear God, who are trustworthy and hate a bribe.
and place such men over the people as chiefs of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, and of tens. Then let them judge the people at all times. Every great matter they shall bring to you, but any small matter they shall decide themselves, so it will be easier for you, and they will bear the burden with you. If you do this, God will direct you, and you will be able to endure, and all this people will go to their place in peace. Of course, I had to look up the Hebrew of that word peace. It's shalom, where nothing is broken, nothing is missing, everything is as it ought to be. It's flourishing. A lifelong learner is a posture that will lead to peace. This is the advice. Now, if you're ever looking for a gift to give to your future son-in-law, right? The wedding's coming up. All you need is a pillow and have this verse embroidered on it. Exodus 18:24. Are you ready? Moses listened to the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he said. Right there. In fact, you don't even have to put the actual words, just put the reference on a pillow. And they're like, what is that? Then they go and look it up, right? All kidding aside, what does Moses do? Is this one of those moments where, you know, the wife calls dad and says, he doesn't even know how to change the oil, right? How is he going to respond? What's his posture? Is he teachable? Moses listened to the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he said. And then it goes on to say that he does delegate. And then if you're wondering how this ends, if you do give a gift like that to your son-in-law, just know that at Christmas time, he might give you a pillow back that's embroidered with Exodus 18:27. Then Moses let his father-in-law depart, and he went away to his own country. This is the word of the Lord, thanks be to God, right? Being a lifelong learner of Jesus is the pathway to peace. That's the point. If you're wondering, wait, we're already done with the passage? Yep, that's the point. Being a lifelong learner of Jesus is our pathway to peace. That's our good news today. What I would like to do is not spend a lot of time on our heads, but actually practice this. This is why we are giving you the first practice of being mentored. What do I mean by that? I mean, for the next 3 months, May, June, and July, we are inviting you to think of, this is how it works, think of a hobby, a skill, a task, a talent. What's that thing that you've always wanted to do? And then find an expert who can do that thing and say, will you teach me how? You're like, really? That's the invitation? That's the homework? Yep. It's that simple. So maybe it's your golf swing. You've always admired somebody else's golf swing, and this is how it's, you know, maybe it's fishing. Maybe it's the perfect sourdough. Maybe you have a friend that knows how to bake, and you've been just a little too prideful to say, could you teach me how? This is an invitation to take up a learner's posture. How to garden. How to pickle. How to play pickleball. Sorry, I had to do that one. You get the idea. Now, I want to be clear. This is where we might hit some hiccups. I'm not even saying it has to be religious. If you want it to be, go for it, right? If you know somebody that has a great prayer life or is really good at patience, you're like, hey, teach me how to be patient, right? Or lead me through what it means to memorize scripture. Absolutely. Go for it. Do that. We're actually saying, though, that it doesn't have to be religious because there's something that happens inside of us that even if it's not religious, it is a spiritual journey to actually become teachable. That if Moses can do it when he's 80, surely we can still have places where we want to grow. And this journey is actually going to show us what it's like to be apprentices of Jesus. There's a deeper eternal reality when we go through a coaching relationship that teaches us how to be teachable. So that's what we're doing. If I can give you, I told you this sermon's probably going to be a little bit different. You're like, what's the whiteboard for? I'm going to say what I write on here so that those in the back can, you can make notes. I actually already have the square for you in the bulletin, but I'm going to teach us about the leadership square. This is how we learn. I'm going to use an example in my own house of mowing the grass. So if you want to write down at the top, I do, you watch. That's the first step. The boys don't even know it. They're playing in the side yard, but I'm mowing the grass. And they're watching. They're seeing how I have to move the sticks away, what it's like to empty when the bag gets full of grass. And they're watching. They're seeing the strips and how the lines matter and how you overlap, right? I do, you watch. The next step is I do, you can write this down, I do, you help. I do, you help. Cooper, come on over. And as I push, he stands right in the middle, and I push with him, and I show him, you know, if you let go, that bar lets go, the blade disengage. You help me. I'll look for that. Don't run over that. Make sure not to hit your brother. You know, all the things, right? I do, and you help. And it's starting to, he gains a little more independence. Then we turn this corner. Now, this corner can be kind of discouraging. This is you do. But where it keeps from being too discouraging is I help. I don't turn him loose yet. Now, he's the one pushing, and maybe I'm off to the side. I'm right there with him going, yeah, but that strip's got to go all the way to the end, right? Do you hear that sound? That means there's too much grass in the bag. You get the idea. I do, or you do, and I help. The last corner that you round, you got it. You do, I watch. This is what we have all been waiting for when I go inside and get a glass of lemonade and then sit on the porch. You do, and I watch. But I don't leave him. He's not mowing by himself without anybody home. You do, I watch. Make sense? If you're sitting here thinking, well, you could do that in a classroom. You could do that at a business. Absolutely. Like I said, there's nothing religious about this, but this is a common grace of how we learn things. And it's a grace that I want us to experience as we develop a discipleship culture, an apprenticeship culture. I think too often what we do is we jump from this top side to over here. In the church, we do it all the time. I do, you watch. Okay, great, you do it. Now I watch. And we don't walk with them and shepherd them in the mentoring, coaching process. So what we've done is created an email address. I know that sounds kind of silly, but it's FPC, it's right there in your bulletin, fpckairos@gmail.com. That comes directly to our staff. And as you ponder this afternoon, you're like, this is what I'm going to do. I want to learn how to build a birdhouse. Tell us about it. This is a way to have shame-free accountability. I've given my word to it that I'm really going to take this on. Over the next 3 months, I'm going to build a birdhouse. And here's who I'm going to work with. And then along your journey, give us updates. Let us know not just what you're doing and how it's going. Tell us what's happening inside of you. Boy, it got really rocky. Or I learned a lot of my week. It was hard to experience that. But I'm learning what it means to have a teachable, lifelong learner posture. I think you understand what's happening here and what we're doing as we seek to create that culture. Now, when I say this, let me be clear. I'm asking you to be the mentee. Not the mentor. You don't get to go out and be like, I'm going to teach you how to mow the grass, right? That you're on the other side of it. Now, if somebody calls you and says, hey, would you teach me? You just got invited to be the mentor. By all means, do be a mentor to someone else.
But our focus is to have that learner's posture, because we believe, land the plane, Pastor, we believe that it's not just that Jethro took Moses around this. It's not just that I took Cooper around this. We believe that Jesus Christ is taking his disciples around this. Because when we say that Jesus Christ is King over all creation, he died for our sins, he was raised to new life, his kingdom is available to us now. So when you give your allegiance to him, you're actually walking with him. You're spending time with him, you're learning from him how to be like him, and you're starting to do the things that he would do. As we foster at First Presbyterian Church a culture of disciple-making, of apprenticeship. So this is an invitation over the next 3 months to come and to see. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.